Well, it's good to see you all, and I do have a number of things to mention, but let me say this first. Ask for your help with something. If you have announcements that you want to be made, it would help a lot if you could write them down on a piece of paper or something and hand them to me or have them brought up here during the announcement time. And because if you tell me and I scribble it down, I may not be able to read it later. As has happened. And if you tell me during the announcement period, I can't always hear you from this distance, and especially with the masks. I said, I don't see any masks right now. That's fine. Yeah, that's that's another thing we need to announce. I understand the CDC has said that if you're vaccinated, you don't have to wear the mask indoors or outdoors. I think our governor has said, let's start that June the 11th. But I'm comfortable with what we're doing. Okay. I may be losing some of my hearing too. Who knows? I'm old enough. We do have a number of announcements. Let me run through them briefly. We have an unnamed UK employee who works with Sandy Hammond, who has a severe case of COVID, and Sandy's requested prayer for that person. Because of HIPAA regulations, she can't release, give us the name, but I think God knows who it is. Jeanette Young, this is Christy's mother-in-law. She suffered facial injuries in a fall on concrete, so that didn't help any. Danny Patton has asked prayer for his sister Sue Tharp and her family. They have some some serious personal issues that they're dealing with right now, and he has asked if you'd offer prayer for Sue Tharp and her family. Charlotte Wilhoit, who used to be for a long time a member here, is now living in Prestonsburg. Her health is declining. She's suffering some dementia, and we need to pray for her. Judy McCauley also, who is has been undergoing a very lengthy COVID rehab in Florida. Gina Durbin, whose daughter died of cancer. And Vicki Dunaway, who's Kay Jacina's sister, is doing better, I think, from her stay in the hospital for renal failure. Yeah. Paul Medler, who is Eddie Jacina's brother-in-law, is coming along after surgery. In a nursing home? Okay. And Mabel Bitzer, who's a friend of Eddie and Kay, is seriously ill also. Grace Lunsford has asked us to pray that she be able to find a good church in Georgia where she moved to. And Lisa Maines, who could lose her vision if the doctors aren't able to help. We have all of our cancer patients, and that list keeps growing. Bud Jeanette and Allison Moss and Randy Olson, Keegan Guy, Ron Cundiff, Jimmy Whitaker, Terry Grimmett, Dave McKibben, Brian Jackson, Mark Watts, and there may be others that I don't know about, but we need to be praying for all these folks. Also for Chris and Rhoda Christie in Sayre Christian Village Nursing Home. Roy Williams, who's recovering from some mini strokes, and his mother-in-law, Dot Thompson, is down with pneumonia, and Roy's wife, Connie, is taking care of both of them. All right, thank you for the update, and we'll pray for, keep praying for Roy. And our college students, don't forget them. We always care about them. Next Sunday, We will recognize our high school and college graduates with a special remembrance. And the names I have are Logan House and Ethan Jacina, Caitlin Views, Zach Young as high school graduates, and Katie Bowman, Dalton Hall, and David View as college graduates. So that's a pretty good list for a small church like this. But keep them in mind, if you will. Those are our prayer requests for the week. During the trials of Jesus, the Apostle Peter, you remember, denied even knowing who Jesus was. And yet, after he rose to life again, Jesus forgave Peter. That was the reason he had gone to the cross in the first place, to forgive sinners. And Peter was one of them. For our communion meditation this morning, I would like to say a song. Not sing it, but I've done that many times with this particular song, but I want to say it. So you can just focus on the words instead of the melody. I'm not on an ego trip. I'm nothing on my own. I make mistakes. I often slip. Just common flesh and bone. But I'll show someday just why I say I'm of a special kind. For when he was on the cross, I was on his mind. He knew me, yet he loved me. He whose glory makes the heavens shine. I'm so unworthy of such mercy. Yet when he was on the cross, I was on his mind. And today I want you to know that when he was on the cross, you were on his mind. Let's remember that together as we share these emblems of Jesus' body and his blood that he gave to forgive our sins. All right, let's sing together some. Number 122 is our first song this morning. Standing on the Promises. Number one.
Standing on the promises of Christ my King, through the ages let his praises ring. Glory in the highest I will shout and sing. Standing on the promises of God, standing, standing, standing on the promises of God, my Savior. Standing, standing, I'm standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises that cannot fail, when the howling storms of doubt and fear assail. By the living word of God I shall prevail, standing on the promises of God. Standing, standing, standing on the promises of God, my Savior. Standing, standing, I'm standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises of Christ the Lord, bound to Him eternally by love's strong cord. Standing on the promises of God, standing, standing, standing on the promises of God, my Savior. Standing, standing, I'm standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises, I cannot fall, listening every moment to the Spirit's call, resting in my Savior as my all in all. Standing on the promises of God, standing, standing, standing on the promises of God, my Savior. Standing, standing, standing on the promises of God.
All right, and let's turn next to number 524. Number 524, the song is At Calvary. Years I spent in vanity and pride, caring not my Lord was crucified, knowing not it was for me, He died on Calvary. Mercy there was great and grace was free, pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burden soul found liberty at Calvary. By God's word at last my sin I learned. Till my guilty soul imploring turned to Calvary. Mercy. There my burden soul found liberty at Calvary. Now I've given to Jesus everything. Now I gladly own Him as my King. Now my raptured soul can only sing. Mercy there was great and grace was free, pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burden soul found liberty, Calvary. Oh, the love that drew salvation's plan, oh, the grace that brought it down to man. Oh, the mighty gulf that God did span at Calvary. Pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burden soul found liberty at Calvary. Number 445 is our song that we're going to sing in preparation for prayer. Actually, it is a prayer. So let's pray just the first verse of number 445, Have Thine Own Way, as we stand for prayer. Have Thine Own Way, Lord, have Thine Own Way. Thou art the potter, I am the clay. While I am waiting, yield it and still. Gracious Father in heaven, there's no end to the things for which we could praise and thank you. The beauty of the sunshine, the rain to water the earth, the energy you put into us to do good and honest work, the joy of our loving families, and just a million other things. Blessings that brighten our lives every day. And there's also no end to the things for which we need to pray. All around us there's hunger and homelessness and hopelessness. We're deluged with news of violence and warfare and dishonesty. And we ask for your attention to all of these. But this morning we want to thank you for the incredible gift of forgiveness and eternal life that your Son has offered to us. Thank you for your grace, your mercy. Thank you for your patience. Help us to treasure our fellowship with you above all else. This is our prayer because of Jesus and in His name. Amen. Let me say this. Today is my 39th anniversary here at Little Hickman. And no. Normally I would sing instead of preaching, but I'm not going to do that today because I have a group of songs all put together and all ready to go, but they're going to take about an hour, and that's too long for Sunday morning, so I haven't figured out yet when I can do that. I want to ask you to sing a couple of old hymns with me, just the first verse. You probably don't need the hymn book, but just in case you do, this first one is number 293 in the hymn book, and it's Amazing Grace. Okay? Let's sing. We don't need the piano even. Let's just sing Amazing Grace, verse 1. Okay? Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. Was blind, but now I see. Very good. That sounds nice. And then the other one is At the cross, we sang that this morning, didn't we? Let's sing the first verse again, okay? Alas, and did my Savior bleed, and did my Sovereign die? Would He devote that sacred head for such a worm as I? At the cross where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away, it was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. Now that's not one we sang this morning, that was at Calvary. This was at the cross. But the reason I wanted you to sing those, maybe you notice a couple of phrases in those two songs. For example, Amazing Grace has a phrase that He saved a wretch like me. And at the cross includes the words, for such a worm as I. Now think about that. Some more recent hymn books have changed those words. A wretch like me has been replaced by saved and set me free. And such a worm as I has been written to someone such as I. Now, they can do stuff like that. Those hymns are so old that they've outlived any copyright issues. Nobody's going to sue anybody for changing the words. But the question is, why would folks do that? Why would they change these words? They didn't change any other part of the hymn. Why would they change those particular phrases? Well, there was a girl on the internet who posted a blog which helped to explain. Her name is Carolyn Healy, and she blogs under the name of Ms. Cranky Pants. And she entitled her article, Revising Amazing Grace to Solve the Wretch Problem. And these are her words now, I'm quoting her. People like me who don't self-identify as wretches, have suggested alternative lyrics. These revisionists prefer to replace a wretch like me with saved and set me free, or saved a soul like me, or saved and strengthened me. A couple of these options lack the cadence of the original, but they solve the wretch problem. And I've entitled this sermon, Solving the Wretch Problem. Well, to go on now, a little research reveals that the author, John Newton, may well have merited the designation wretch, as he was a slave trader who repudiated his childhood faith and led a debauched personal life. He's said to have experienced a spiritual conversion during a 1748 storm that threatened his life and his slave ship. Soon after, he wrote the first stanza, the part with wretch in it. Now, those are her words, but notice that she says she doesn't self-identify as a wretch. And then she literally says, John Newton may well have merited that designation. Essentially, she's saying, not me. I'm not like Newton. I'm a better person than he is. He was. I haven't sinned like he sinned. Therefore, I am not a wretch. Well, what does wretch mean anyway? I looked it up to find out exactly what the definition is. And if you're going to look it up, you want to be sure you use a W. If you spell it without the W, it's an entirely different thing. But wretch has a couple of meanings. And the one that this internet lady was uncomfortable with is wretch, a despicable or contemptible person. I can see why some folks might have a problem with that. Yeah. If you go up to someone on the street and say, are you a contemptible person? You're going to have a problem, I think. At the very least, they're going to look at you like you've lost your ever-loving mind. And they'll say, of course, I'm not contemptible. I'm a pretty nice person. Just ask me. And that's why folks will change hymns like this. They're not worms, they're not despicable, they're not contemptible, they're nice, righteous, upstanding people, and don't you dare imply otherwise. Okay? Now, don't get me wrong, it doesn't bother me when folks tinker with old hymns. I've been changing thou and thine to yours and you and yours for a long time. That's not a big deal. But the reason behind why people change these words can be a very big deal. You see, when folks say they don't self-identify as wretches and worms, they're not really disagreeing with the writer of that hymn. They're not disagreeing with me. They're disagreeing with God. Ephesians chapter 2 says, before we became Christians, we were by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind. In Colossians, Paul says, once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior. Enemies of God. And when Paul wrote to Titus, he said, at one time, we too were foolish, disobedient, deceived, and enslaved by all kinds of passions and pleasures. We lived in malice and envy, being hated and hating one another. Now, I don't know. That sounds kind of contemptible to me. What about you? I heard about a couple that had a problem when they came home from vacation. There was a bad smell coming from under their back porch, and they thought it might be a dead animal. Well, in this case, it was the wife who worked and worked and finally dragged that dead animal out from under the back porch and discovered it was a dead skunk. Now, a live skunk smells bad enough. I've never smelled a dead one. But I think it must be pretty gross. But what God is telling us in those scriptures I read is that before we became Christians, we all smelled worse than that dead skunk. Is that important to know? I think it is. It's important because most people misunderstand how God thinks. They think if they've really messed up their lives, then God could never love me. These are the folks that say, if I ever came to church, the roof would cave in. Have you heard that? Have you said that? They're not trying to be mean. They're just trying to save us the expense of cleaning up afterward, I guess. But then there's other folks who sing that hymn, Just As I Am, and they think, well, I'm good enough to get in heaven just as I am. See, people have all kinds of ideas about what God thinks. Sometime back, Warren Buffett announced that he was giving away his fortune to charity. At that time, as I recall, I think he was worth about $44 billion. That was just in stocks. And he was going to give away $37 billion, most of it going to the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, which does a lot of charitable work. As he was presenting the gift to Mr. and Mrs. Gates, he made this remark. He said, there's more than one way to get to heaven, but this is a great way. Ooh, come Judgment Day, I'm afraid Mr. Buffett's going to be in for a surprise. Unless he's claimed the blood of Jesus Christ, he's not going to make it. No matter how rich you are or how righteous you think you are, without Jesus, you are children of wrath, like the rest of mankind, as Paul said. It doesn't matter if you don't self-identify as a wretch or a child of wrath or an enemy of God. It doesn't matter if you don't think that about yourself. Without Jesus, that's who you are. That's who I are. That's who everybody are. We've all sinned and fall short of the glory of God. That's another scripture from Paul. But in the second chapter of Ephesians, I want to read just two verses. Chapter 2, verses 4 and 5. But, see, this is true. We all sinned. But, because of His great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ. Even when we were dead in transgressions, it is by grace you have been saved. That's plenty of scripture. That says a lot. God saved us not because we deserve to be saved. Why did He save us? Because He loved us. Because He loved us. God so loved the world. Well, there's nobody on earth that God doesn't love. Regardless of what they've done, now that doesn't mean everyone will congregate in heaven. That means God loves them and wants to save them. See, lots of people struggle to understand. They have this common misconception that you develop a good record and you show it to God and then He owes you. They do good stuff and then God owes them a place in heaven. Folks, that's not happening. This is how God thinks. God develops a good record, gives it to us, and then we owe Him. God developed His good record when His Son died on the cross. Because He died on the cross in place of us, we owe Him. Big time. Now, why is that a good thing? Well, I think there are two reasons why that's a good thing. Number one, It recognizes reality. It tells it like it is. Mark Twain once said, "Everyone is a moon and has a dark side which he never shows to anybody." That's another way of saying what God has already said, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. But everyone has a dark side. That's real. That's reality. So when people actually do sin, it shouldn't surprise us. It might disappoint us, but we're not going to be surprised. Because now you know the truth. The truth is that all have sinned and fall short of God's glory. That's the reality of the situation. That's what's real. And the second reason is that it removes all doubt. I read a story about a man on his deathbed. And he looked up at his wife and he said, "Tell me I've been a good man." Now, a lot of people struggle with that. Why would he ask her now when he's about to die if he's been a good man? I believe he asked her that because he's afraid he's not been good enough. He's afraid he won't pass the entrance exam for heaven. Earlier in this sermon, I told you there are two meanings for the word wretch. The one we looked at earlier is a person who's contemptible or despicable. Now, the other meaning is this: an unfortunate or unhappy person. See, for people who doubt that they've been good enough, they can literally feel wretched because they have no assurance of salvation. They know they've not lived a good life. Pretty sure they may not make it. And that can make a person wretched. One retired priest said this. He said, "I've seen so many people at the end of their lives, they're so remorseful, and they ask themselves, what am I going to do now about my past?" God says, "It's okay. I've got you covered. You're worried about your past doesn't matter. All that matters is that you realize that I love you and I want to save you. I want to change your life. Just let me do it. Don't try depending on your own righteous deeds because they won't get it done." But you know, too often, many Christians fall into that trap. They think they've been good enough to be good enough. But they can't be. There's an old story about a man, you probably heard this, about a man who came to the Golden Gate. And in all the jokes about heaven, St. Peter is a gatekeeper. So he'd been a member in good standing in the church, and because he'd been such a good man, he expected just to walk right in to heaven. And to his amazement, he was told by Peter that there's a point system he has to meet in order to qualify. And he said, "Well, how many points do I need to get into heaven?" And Peter said, 30,000. "Well," he said, "I was a member of Little Hickman Christian Church. How much is that worth?" Peter said, 5 points. 5 points? "Well, how about all the good things I did for my neighbors and my family? Surely that's worth more than 5 points." Peter said, 8 points. According to our record, yep, just 8 points. And the man got worrying. He said, "Well, that's only 13 out of 30,000. If it weren't for the grace of God, no one could make it into heaven." Peter said, "That's the rest of the 30,000. The grace of God." I want to close with this thought. I don't know if you realize it, but I have one of the cutest, cleverest, smartest, most attractive, and talented daughters around. I do, and she is. Recently, I've been giving some thoughts to working on my will. When you get to be as old as I am, you think about things like that. I'm trying to figure out how I can include her and her 3 children in my will. And as I was preparing this sermon, it occurred to me that there are a lot of kids in town who are cute and clever and smart and attractive and talented. They may even be your kids or grandkids. Some of them are, probably. But I'm not planning to leave them anything in my will. You know why? Because they don't belong to me. They're your kids, not mine. So I won't be giving them anything. Amy will receive some kind of an inheritance from me, but only because she's mine. She belongs to me. And the only way you get into heaven is if you belong to God. It won't matter how cute, clever, smart, attractive, talented, kind, generous you may be. If you don't belong to Him, you don't get nothing. And how do you belong to God? By believing that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. By accepting the fact that you've sinned and need to repent. By confessing that Jesus will now be Lord and Master of your life. By allowing yourself to be buried in the water of Christian baptism, rising up out of the water as a new creature in Christ. God would like to have you in His family. And if you're not already, I hope you'll consider it. We're going to sing a hymn of invitation this morning, number 318. And this will be an opportunity for you to step out and make your decision for Christ. Number 318, just the first and the last verses of Whiter Than Snow.
Lord Jesus, I long to be whiter than snow. I want You forever to live in my soul. Break down every idol, cast out every foe. Now wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. Whiter than snow, yes, whiter than snow. Now wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. Lord Jesus, before You I patiently wait. Come now and within me a new heart create. To those who have sought You, You never said no. Now wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. Whiter than snow, yes, whiter than snow. Now wash me and I shall be whiter than snow.
Let's pray together. Our loving Heavenly Father, may Your presence live within each one of us as we leave this place. May we always be aware that we're temples of Your Spirit. We're representatives of Your love wherever we go. So that people we meet can sense the joy and the assurance that live in our hearts through Jesus. And help us to care about every person we come across. In the name of Jesus, we pray it. Amen.